Welcome back to the Sneaker Annex podcast with me, Danny, aka at Roystinho, and Dan, aka Dan underscore Squire. Good evening, good morning. What time of day is it? I'm losing time with lockdown, COVID, and not really knowing where I am at any point in any day.
Nothing matters anymore, Danny, that's why. Nothing matters anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is.
You are absolutely correct. Welcome back to the podcast. Another one. We do quite well getting them out weekly. We've got some people lined up for a few more episodes. And we do have a special guest today. We have got Henry from the panel joining us in a little bit just to talk about, well, it's actually a really interesting subject. I almost don't want to spoil it, but I'll probably put it in the title anyway, about what is a sneakerhead and the different types and almost categorising, but not really categorising. Anyway, it's a really interesting chat. It'll be coming up in a bit. But first up, Dan.
Got a bit of sneaker news this week, and it's quite exciting. Obviously, last week we talked about how go through Christmas and everything's quite quiet, and then it seems like this week everything happened at once.
Yeah, we had loads of little bits dropping, didn't we? Go on, this is your segment anyway. I don't want to take over. I know, well, I'm a bit of a chit chat and I like going off on tangents, so I don't really.
It is. And I mean, obviously, if people listen every week, they'll have heard us talk about what we wanted for 2021.
Yeah.
One of the things I said I really hoped for, and my biggest disappointment of last year, was that the Air Max 90 Bacon, the DQM, didn't get a retro and didn't come out. And lo and behold, look what came out this week. Well, not Kate, the shoe didn't come out, but yeah, the leaks of the Bacon Air Max 90.
I mean, we have no insider knowledge or anything about this. It was just pure coincidence that it has just dropped and people have been teasing it left, right, centre. How are we feeling? How excited are you, Daniel? Come on.
I'm genuinely proper excited. Obviously, it's not going to be easy to get. It's going to be a really difficult shoe to get. It's a grail for a lot of people, and I don't use that term a lot, but it's a genuine grail, is the OG for a lot of people. But unreal shoe. Hopefully, it's Air Max Day, because it'll make Air Max Day a brilliant, obviously a brilliant one, where I think a few people into Nike have been a little bit disappointed with the last couple of years, as it was so good going back, you know, 3-4 years ago. But yeah, genuinely really excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, I make no... I don't know what I meant to say there, but I don't hide the fact that Air Max 90s aren't really my thing. I picked up the infrareds just before Christmas because OG colorway. I have always wanted a pair of Bacons, though. I think it's just everything about that shoe is amazing. There's a couple of 90s that I've always wanted, you know, the Dizzy Rascals, and there's a few others, but the Bacon 90s always were one of the shoes that I really wanted and never got. So fingers crossed whenever they drop. Like I say, Air Max Day has been such a disappointment since, I think, when the Elephants and the Masters dropped.
Yeah, but that wasn't the Air Max Day release. The Air Max Day that year, if I remember rightly, was the original Vapor Max. So in the weeks leading up, we had the... I think the Masters might have been the year after. But in the weeks leading up to with the Atmos, the Elephant, it was the... I believe it was the Masters, the Atmos Elephant. And then, yeah, I think it was the original Vapor Max was the Air Max Day that year. And I think that's why people were a little bit disappointed, even though that went on to be a massive shoe and was a really good shoe for Nike. For an Air Max head, you know, like, it didn't hold the same weight as getting a retro Elephant Air Max 1.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you could vote on that's why I loved about the Elephant Air Max 1, is that you got to vote on it the year before.
Yeah, so obviously the people chose to bring it back, which was amazing. And then they did the vote, and everyone voted for the Sean Witherspoon Air Max 197 for the following year, which was amazing, obviously. Yeah. Great issue.
Obviously. So that's the Bacon 90s, and have we got anything else? Oh,
there's some loads more, Danny. Loads more. Sai is doing a couple of really good things. There's I don't know if people have been on the Sai's Launches app, if they check it a lot, but there's a raffle. So it's a charity raffle, £5 entry, pick your shoe that you want to go for, £5 to the Mind charity, really good charity, and some really good shoes up for grabs.
Yeah. There's some, I mean, obviously the one that caught my eye straight away was the Manchester.
Yeah, Manchester in a size 9's in there. Got the Adidas size London in a size 10. The one for me, if, I mean, I've entered, I think £5 to that charity is a good way to spend a fiver anyway. So,
exactly.
You know, you can't really go wrong. But they've got the Clerks pack from 2006, the Air Max 90. Air Max 90 Brighton, which is a great...
Oh, yeah, the Brighton one, yeah. Yeah, I've entered for the, Adidas Manchesters. They were too big for me, but I just don't have a pair, so it's worth a five. And like you said, £5 to a great charity, so why not just pick a shoe and even if you don't win, it's a good cause, isn't it? So
yeah, great cause. So yeah, I really like that. That's a good thing. And then sticking with size as well, I know they've teased, I'd say more than teased, the comeback of a almost mythical status shoe, Danny.
Yeah, it is just, well, I've heard about this shoe, and obviously you grow up and as you get into trainers, and I always hear about, I'm going to use the term older heads, like the people like that are slightly older than us. I'm 38, right? And if we talk about people that are in the 40s, they know about this shoe a little bit more than me. It was not one that's ever kind of been on my radar particularly, other than it had, like you said, the mythical status that it's never been retroed. And it is what's the shoe?
Well, it's the Nike Omega Flame. And yeah, like you say, it's never been retroed. It originally came out in 1983. So obviously, we're far too young, Danny. We're far too young. But yeah, this has had, you know, almost mythical status with sneakerheads for years. And I'm actually shocked that it's going to be a size exclusive, because I think there's so many people that have wanted this shoe to come back for so long, and to get its first ever retro after, well, it'll be almost 40 years.
Yeah. It's almost a bit of a coup for size, isn't it?
Amazing. I'm sure they'll do it justice, and I think that'll be a huge release.
Was there a date on that at all? I didn't notice a date, or did it just actually come?
I don't think so, no. I don't think they gave any date yet.
No, but yeah, there's a lot of people I know. And I'll tell you what's been surprising actually this week is the amount of Adidas heads that have just been like, Nike Omega Flame, they're coming back. I don't want any Nike shoes, but Nike Omega Flames are coming back, so I need to get some. And I guess that shows what kind of level.
I think even with like the older Adidas guys, I mean, I could be wrong here, and you're welcome to correct me, but I think with these Omega Flames, these were kind of a shoe that people were wearing before they even got properly into the Adidas and, you know, really into the, you know, casual football, like terrace-style football.
I'd say people wore these on the terraces.
Yeah, no doubt they would, and no doubt. Yeah. And then one more bit of news this week is New Balance continuing their collabs with Emelian d'Or. I think this is going to be the fifth shoe that they've done together.
Wow, have they done that many? I know they've done a few, but I've not counted them up, to be honest.
I mean, the ones I can remember, they've done the 997, 990, 550, and an 827. And now I think they're doing a 1300, apparently. So right. Is it too many?
I don't know. They kind of fly, don't they? So
yeah, I mean, the 550 last year was super popular. The 990 previous year, I think that was. That's a great shoe. Impossible to get. Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah, they're pumping them out.
I've got to be honest, I've not actually seen these ones that we are actually talking about, but I'm sure that, well, New Balance, They've been smashing it, haven't they? So I'm sure people that are really, really into New Balance will be all over these.
Yeah, and I think one good thing with the Emelian d'Or collabs, every silhouette they're doing is completely different. You know, it's almost like a shoe for a different customer every time they do it. So you're not going to get bored of seeing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I agree with that. Right, should we get our guest in now anyway?
Let's do it.
So go on.
So, yeah, we were talking, weren't we? And we ended up talking about a panel post that came out a couple of weeks ago and had a really good discussion and thought we need to talk about this more, or at least we don't need to, but we wanted to talk about it more.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, who better to talk about it with than somebody from the panel online? So if you don't follow them already, drop them a follow on Instagram. It's thepanel.online. And they post some really good questions, some really good discussions, as well as all your like sneaker content and stuff. So today with us, we've got Henry, aka Blacklisted on Instagram. Welcome to the podcast.
Narwin, Henry, how's it going?
Yeah, all right. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Very good.
Nice.
How's 2021 been treating us so far?
I can't really complain, considering all things, working from home, treating my daily walks or every other day walks to the supermarket as a bit of a holiday. But above all of that, yeah, I'm all right. It's cool.
And just for those of our listeners who might not know yourself or might not know of the panel, which if you don't know the panel, how have you not missed it when we share the Instagram stuff on our stories? Just explain a little bit about you and the guys behind the panel before we get into what we're talking about today.
Right. So the panel has been around for a good number of years. I think we burst onto the scene 2017. The guys are most probably listening to this and most probably pissing themselves busting joke at my expense, but yeah, we came onto the scene roughly around about 2017, and we really came onto the scene almost as a response to where the scene was heading in regards to the fact that literally the conversations was about resale, how much can I get for this, and hype as well. And amongst us, the conversation was, what happened to the stories? What happened to the back in the days? What happened to us geeking over the finer aspects of kicks, trainers, sneakers? You know, where are the stories? Why is it now that everything's all about money and resale? So the panel really was born out of that. And over the last few years, there's been a nice steady growth of people who believe and buy into that whole narrative in terms of having that conversation about trainers and discussing, you know, just view, like getting to hear different viewpoints from different people in regards to the different things that are going on within the scene. So that's what we're all about. And in amongst all of that, there are various things that we do. So we do video discussions in regards to drops or issues that are going on within the scene. You've got your Sunday sermons, which is something I do. So it's a write-up of stuff that's occurred during the week that I felt to give my two pence worth, or, you know,
my opinion. Two pence. It's not two pence, is it? It's like a 20 quid. I mean, you really, really buy into it. No, but I and it's no secret to you, Henry, but for everybody out there listening, I really buy into what the panel stand for and what they do. And that's why we've got Henry to come on and discuss our little topic today. Dan, do you want to start off with what we're going to talk about?
So, I mean, it came from something the panel posted a couple of weeks back now. And I think the question was, can you be a sneakerhead if you only buy one brand? See a lot of people these days, especially through things like social media, Instagram especially, where you see people have the biggest collection of Dunks, biggest collection of Jordans, but kind of nothing else, and nothing against that. So me and Danny ended up talking about it, and we were talking about it for probably 20-25 minutes just in general chit-chat conversation, and thought, if us two can talk about this for ages and kind of debate it, let's talk about it with someone from the panel. So There you are. So we're going to flip the question and ask you, can you be a sneakerhead if you only buy one brand?
Before I answer, I just want to say, myself or the panel, we're not the authority in terms of definitions or what a sneakerhead is or whatnot. All we do is, like yourselves, we give our own viewpoints and opinions. But to answer your question, can you be a sneakerhead if you only buy one brand? Well, I hate answering a question with a question, but I have to do this. And I guess it's one that we'll most probably end up arguing to the hills. What is a sneakerhead? You know, how do you define one? And what's the difference between a sneakerhead, an influencer, and so on and so forth?
No, that's exactly what we want to, that's exactly what we're saying. What is the difference between a sneakerhead? What makes you a sneakerhead? What makes you a collector of certain points? And where's the crossover, or where's the blur within it? Because for me, myself, I don't know if I class myself as a sneakerhead, because I don't know. I always thought the term sneakerhead was maybe, I don't know, a bit cooler. I don't think I'm that cool, really. But I mean,
I would never use the term sneakerhead, I don't think, because I just don't like it and I don't really know what it is. But if I was to say, like, somebody was a sneakerhead, I personally, to actually answer the question, I don't think you can just buy one brand and be a sneakerhead. In the way that, for me, you can't be a sports fan and only watch football. You're just a football fan. So, for me, if somebody was to be a sneakerhead, or, you know, we were putting a list together of, you know, people we were going to class as sneakerheads, I don't think you can just buy one brand.
Sure, I hear that. I somewhat subscribe to it, to your point, Dan. I think, to answer my own question, I think a sneakerhead, for me, is a general term, is an overarching term. It's a term that, I guess, is used to categorize the subsections within a sneakerhead. And when I say subsections, what I mean is, who are the players that could qualify as a sneakerhead? You've got a collector, purist, a reseller to some degree. I think anyone that's involved in the consumption of sneakers is a sneakerhead, in my opinion. It's how much further would you define yourself as a sneakerhead, I guess, will give a better character in terms of what type of sneakerhead you are. So for me, I would describe Danny as a collector. So he's someone that buys a variety of different brands, understands the history, understands the construction of shoes, has a good knowledge of sneakers. And I'd imagine, yeah, I'd put yourself as well, Dan, in that same category as a collector. And even myself, I think a lot of us would call ourselves collectors. Some may collect only one brand, some may collect a variety of brands, but you're essentially a collector that understands the history, the craftsmanship, the quality, and so on and so forth, all those facets that goes into a sneaker. There are other qualities within a sneakerhead. You've also got OGs as well. So that's someone that has been in the scene, in my opinion, 10, 15 years plus. And you've also got industry heads as well. So you've got all these different players that for me, fall under the overarching term sneakerheads.
I actually really like that analogy, like everyone is a sneakerhead, and then where do you fit within that kind of sub? I mean, it throws out the Dan's point about liking sports and being football, but the sportsman.
He's still a sports fan. It's just that he likes football.
Yeah, so I'd say that there were, like, if you were to go back to trainers, I'd say if it's one person buying one brand, they're more of a Nike enthusiast or an Adidas enthusiast. Whereas for me, sneakers is across every brand. And if you're only really looking in at one angle, for me, you're not really a sneakerhead, because you're looking at just what you are interested in, or just your, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's loads of people out there. My collection's 90% Nike.
Just 90%. And like I say,
95.
This guy buys a pair of New Balances as if you hadn't seen this week, and now he thinks he's like an overriding, oh, it's only down to 90%. Yeah.
there's a lot of stuff in those archives that you just don't see.
Yeah.
I'd say 80-85% of people's collections are Nike heavy, and I guess that's testament to the power of the Nike marketing machine. I would say the other 15% are more select in terms of the fact that they only wear Adidas's or New Balances or Asics. And I guess that's down to each individual preferences. But for me, I would say pretty much, if you only like Nikes, for me, I wouldn't disqualify you as a sneakerhead. I would just say, yeah, you're still a sneakerhead. It's just that you only like Nikes, which for me makes you a Nike fanboy. That's pretty much it.
And does it matter about what you've got as well, I think? Because you might have a lot of one brand, but so I go back to thinking of myself as a young kid. I didn't have, you know, you don't have endless amounts of money to buy lots and lots of products, so you might only buy the, so I'll go into even like this year, right, where I'm going to go for like attempt to go for the one pair a month kind of strand. So I've already earmarked that January will probably be a pair of Dunks, and I've seen it, there's a the Porsche design pair of Dunks, the Pink Pig ones in February, and I'm like, I'm going to go through this year and there's going to be a pair of Dunks dropping every month that I want above everything else, but I'll still have an appreciation for everything else dropping. So if you were just picking up one thing, but you love other trainers, you could still be have that broad knowledge and that broad.
I think that comes with how long you've been in it as well, though, because you could not buy any Adidas, you could not buy any Diadora, you could not buy anything else this year, but you know you've always bought across a load of brands. You know, you've never just bought Speziale, you never just bought Dunks. Whereas I think, I don't know, maybe there's some people out there that might class themselves as a sneakerhead. Like I say, I don't like that term, but, and they might just have Jordans and Dunks. That to me, it's just not the case. I'm not having it. I don't even like the term, but I'm not having it.
Yeah, you're going to get a bunch of sneakerheads that only like Dunks and Jordans off your head.
Hey, that's fine.
So I'm going to throw something in there. Who are these people then who say they are sneakerheads and are just into like Dunks and Jordans? Are they more recent people in the trainer game who are just coming in? Let's be honest, the influence of Instagram over the last 10 years cannot be ignored on certain silhouettes, certain models, certain people in society who then just jump on the latest craze, whatever that might be. Are they sneakerheads if they're just being heavily influenced by what they see online and they're just going, we know who we're talking about, the people that are just after the hype and the people that are just after the things for to get the likes and stuff like that. Are they sneakerheads? Or is it?
I think so. I would say so. And to your point, social media, as I've written in various panel pieces, social media has been a real catalyst for the explosion of sneaker culture, easily in the last 5-6 years, easily, where you've just got people that are now jumping into the scene off the back of social media because they're seeing their favorite pop stars or hip-hop artists or celebrity influencers wearing particular outfits or shoes, and they want to emulate that. I think it was the Sneaker Dog in your previous podcast who mentioned that back in the days, it's sports stars that we would want to emulate in terms of football boots or shoes or trainers that they were wearing back in those days. Whereas that narrative has now shifted over to influencers and celebrity influencers born out of social media and people wanting to emulate that. If you look at your reality TVs, your MTV shows where they would follow the life of these influencers, people want to emulate that. That's the idols. They're the heroes of today, not your football stars, not your sports stars. It's those. So, and it's what they wear that people are now tapping into. And that whole accessibility is quite visible in terms of the fact that you see it in your social media timelines. It's not a what do you call those people? The people that dress the stars. They're dressing themselves, and people can see that. So like your Travis Scott's wearing a pair of Dunks. Fans of Travis Scott's, they may not necessarily be a sneakerhead at that particular point in time, but because they idolize him, because they see him as a type of hero, they want to emulate that. So that demand for the Dunks that he's wearing now becomes visible. It becomes something that's more tangible, and you get the brands that feed into that deliberately as well, because obviously they need the sales, they need to grow their market share and so on and so forth. I don't want to stray into the sneaker dog's realm because that's his thing, but it's all of what goes on is very visible. You're seeing it firsthand. I'd imagine for Dan as well, in his line of work, he would see that at the shop, at his store, people coming in wanting specific types of shoes, not necessarily because they themselves like the shoes, but because they've seen someone else. They've been influenced by the characters within social media wearing those items. So they want a piece of that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't think it's changed so much from sports stars to people within entertainment. I think it's just evolved and grown, because even going back to when I was young, it was people like Fat Joe, DJ AM and stuff. And imagine, like, if social media was as big back then, you just saw less pictures of those people wearing those things, but you still wanted the Terror Squad Air Force Ones and the stuff that but you just couldn't get it. But yeah, the influencers and entertainers are definitely getting more collaborations now and getting a bigger market share for sure.
And is that a good thing?
What was that, Danny?
Is that a good thing for people who have been into it for a long time, that these people are having this massive influence on? I'm going to sound snobby here, but they're having a massive influence on my hobby that I've done for 20 years. And then, because even back in the day, the hard stuff to pick up back in the day was not hard compared to now. Let's be honest.
It was. Oh, yeah.
Difficult. So is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a double-edged sword, really, and it depends from what optics you're looking at it from. I guess being primarily a consumer of the culture, no, it's not, because to your point, the shoes that I like, if I can't get hold of it, I'm having to pay resale for it just to pick up something that I want. So in that respect, no. However, from the brand's point of view, yeah, it is a good thing, because what it means is that, to my earlier point, the culture is now, it's growing, or yeah, it is growing and continues to grow. And as such, there are more people that are now interested in sneakers. So in effect, what brands are doing, and I think Dan will back me up on this, is they're increasing the units or the allocations that are available to be purchased. Having said that, though, I think that increase is proportionate to the increase of participants that are in the scene. So yes, there are more shoes available to buy, which means the brands make more money. But however, it's still as hard to get hold of the shoes now as it was, say, 5 years ago or so, in my opinion.
Right. Interesting, because my little narrative on that is slightly different. And I'll go from the City series that just dropped with size 10 years ago, there were 500 pairs. And I was not saying that they were easy to get to, easy to get a hold of, sorry. So there's 500 pairs of these City Series 10 years ago. And then last year, they dropped 2,000 of each instead of just 500. Now, I think, maybe that's just my viewpoint, it has grown more than four times. I think it's been much harder for people to get the one of these 2,000 pairs than one of the 500 in 2010.
It's tough. I think it goes back to what Henry was saying about social media. I think a lot of the retail side of stuff's gone to social media as well. So in the past, and obviously going back all them years, Danny, you'll know, if you wanted a pair of shoes, you go to a store and it was the only place you could get them. You know, or you're hitting on a website, you're getting super lucky. No raffles, anything like that. So everyone who got a shoe just got one shoe because you were in a queue, you picked up your shoe. One store per city sold that shoe, so you were gone. But now it's almost harder, but you see people finding ways to get multiples. Because obviously with every retailer going through the same platform, and all you need now is an Instagram account to get a pair of shoes, you could end up with three pairs or you could end up with none. Whereas in the past it was hit or miss. You know, it was one or zero.
That's a good point.
I'm just thinking about what I've just said, and I think I'm gonna take a step back and actually say it was easier. I think before 2010, by the way, I've been in the scene, I would say, at least coming up to 20 years or so, and I would say pre 2010, arguably, it was easier to pick up shoes then than it is now. And without and this is for me, this is pre-social media, you camped out or you queue, or even some of the limited stuff that would drop, they wouldn't necessarily have sold out. They would have sat in shops a good couple of days, sometimes a week and a half, and you could walk into the store, pick them, actually pick up the shoes, examine them, try on different sizes, and then you make the purchase. Whereas now, it's raffle based. To Dan's point, you only need an Instagram account to be able to buy shoes, or you have to do a prepayment of an item that you're not even sure that you're going to get. And then even if you are lucky or fortunate to pick up the shoes, you've picked what you think is your size, but when you do get the shoes and you try it on, you realize that it's either too big or too small. So, to the original point, I feel like it was easier pre-2010 to pick up a pair of shoes than it is now. Also, as well, just to say, in terms of queuing up, it's almost as if, no, you actually, if you knew you can get to a store and queue up at a particular time, you controlled your own narrative in terms of whether you was able to pick up those shoes on the morning of the release. Unlike now, it's literally down to luck and chance.
No, I completely get that. The days of where you could just go there's always been all-night campouts, but I remember one of the last things I queued for were purple lobsters. Lobster dunks, and I queued for those at Welcome, and I went at like 6 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't an all night stop out, do you know what I mean? And there was like a and it was a respect. And since then, I mean, as well as dunk hype and everything else, it's just gone nuts. But I've not queued for anything. Some of the Adidas boys are better than queuing than some of you Nike boys.
I have to condone that. I mean, obviously, I spent years managing queues and stuff, and the Adi queues were some of the best guys I've met. You know, it still shocks me to this day, the queue for a Gazelle. But, in terms of queues, absolute top lads, yeah.
Go on then, Dan. So I've got a question for you. So these Adidas guys that are queuing up, respectfully, are they sneakerheads or what are they?
No, they're not sneakerheads if they only buy Adidas. I know some of them, obviously, we know some personally. Don't just buy Adidas, like all three of us sat here. not saying that we're sneakerheads or not, but if even if they're queuing for Adidas, even if they've got 400 pairs of Adidas, if it's just Adidas and that's all they care about, they're an Adidas enthusiast, they're not a sneakerhead.
Interesting.
So someone like Brooksy, he's an Adidas enthusiast, he's not a sneakerhead. Sorry,
yeah, Brooksy, I mean, put your name out there. He, as I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this follow him, he must have an incredible knowledge on sneakers, an amazing Adidas collection. But if he only likes Adidas, for me, that's not a sneakerhead. Just like he wouldn't be a sports fan if he only watched football, or a music fan if you only listen to one band.
Interesting. So if we go back to Henry's analogy of everybody into trainers is a sneakerhead under that big umbrella, and we kind of maybe defined ourselves a little bit of we are a collectors within that, and then you've got the OGs and you've got the other people in that. What are we calling the new sneakerheads that have just jumped on it in the last 5 years under that umbrella? Have they got their own little title, for want of a better title? And by the way, all this is us just talking rubbish, by the way. We're not saying that you are. we're not pointing fingers and going, that is not us, by the way. We are just posing a question and just talking about it. I don't want people like rocking up at my door going, what are you saying? I'm not a sneakerhead.
If you do want to blame anybody, blame the panel, because they started this.
So what would all these new people into the scene? Because I actually, there's a part of me that we're all new at some point. Do you know what I mean? I was new in 1999 when I got into like buying my trainers, and that's when I first got into it. Everyone's new at some point, but is there a particular gateway, or what do we call them?
I'd counter that, and I'd say, because I wouldn't call myself a sneakerhead, because if there's a shoe that I'm not interested in and I don't have any appeal towards it, I won't do my research on it and I don't care about it. So in that way, I don't think I've got I've only got an interest in something I like. But I also wouldn't call myself a collector, because I've never bought a pair to collect. I've only ever bought something to wear, so I don't really see my shoes as a collection. So I don't know if it needs a term.
Well, that's
so you're just some guy that has a heap load of shoes.
I'm just a guy that loves shoes, yeah.
Something that loves.
But if there's a term out there for me, then fair play. But I definitely wouldn't call myself a sneakerhead. And I definitely,
I mean, I've got plenty of terms for you, Dan. But I've been shared on the podcast. I do understand, like, if you collectors, and we'll go back to Brooksy, obviously, I know Rob, he doesn't wear all his collection, or he will buy, or he will not wear all his collection, because he'll buy things in different sizes that don't fit him, because he collects. But I only buy to wear. Yeah. So I see your point on that.
See, yeah, I'd say he was a true collector, and I'm sure, like you say, the term sneakerhead doesn't really mean anything to me. So apart from what I, in my own head, I would class someone as, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So Henry, what would you class yourself as?
Well, I am a sneakerhead, because I'm into sneakers and I like shoes. I like trainers. I like my trainers. And it's not just the hype stuff. I like good shoes. I think that's, if you were to define me, I like good shoes. And that could be craftsmanship, quality, story, history, any aspect or facets of sneakers. I have a genuine interest and passion for it. And I like to think aspects of that is reflected in terms of the pieces that I write.
Can I just throw a term in there? And I'll probably umbrella myself and yourself, Henry, in this. I would call myself a trainer geek, right? Because I geek over stuff even that, or I have an opinion as, I mean, we discuss this, not on this podcast, but we will often discuss certain pieces coming out. And I will have an opinion on any trainer, even if it's not for me. I will have an opinion on that, where some people don't care. some people go, oh, it's a Jordan, I'm not even bothered about that. Whereas I will still have an opinion on it because I'm a geek and I love train. I love every aspect of trainers. So I would class myself as a trainer geek rather than a sneakerhead.
Okay, fair enough. No, because I mean, I don't know. Geek sounds like someone that's really deep into it. Geek sounds like a purist. That, for an example, let's take the ZX 8000 Aqua that came out previous year, this time last year. Yeah. Now, the fact it was made with a Boost, to some people, that's great. You know, comfort of shoe and so on and so forth. Some of the purists or those that love their ZX 8000 Aquas, they'd actually be pissed because they would argue that the shoe is not true to what a ZX 8000 should look like or should wear because it's got a Boost element to it.
Yeah.
So, I guess you could call it geeking out. I'd call it purists that, they're really fussy over how a shoe should look or a historic shoe or an iconic historic shoe should look.
I see that. Can I just say this chat is almost, it's a funny one. We got Henry in because, like I said at the start of this chat, the panel posts some really thought-provoking posts is what I'd say. Whatever you put on Instagram and on your blog, I think I engage with every single one of them. And I sit there and I'll think, right, what can I write to this? Because it's actually got my brain ticking over. And that's why we wanted to get him. It's almost, I don't want to say that what we talked about is nonsense, because it's interesting to see what people's perspectives on certain elements of the trainer world are.
And that's it, isn't it? It's just three people's opinion. And obviously we'd love to hear more opinions. But me and Danny alone talked about this for so long, just talking absolute nonsense. We just had to get someone from the panel, and obviously we wanted to get Henry on anyway. So it was the ideal time, because at the end of the day, it was kind of that question that started it.
Yeah, and I think the beauty in regards to our conversation and the culture in general is that there's no right or wrong answer. It's all interpretations. It's all optics. It's how we see things. Yes, there are certain things that have happened or do happen or are part of a process that's fact. So in terms of manufacturing processes, how a shop do businesses and so on and so forth, that, all of that, that's by the by. But in terms of mere conversation in regards to definitions or our thoughts on a particular item or a product, there's no right or wrong answer. It's all down to the individual in terms of how they see things.
The only wrong thing about this is we're conducting it over Zoom and we're not sat in a pub with a pint, because I think it'd be a lot more interesting talking it.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Just before we wrap this up then, Henry, What's next on your radar? Because we like to ask our guests what we've been picking up and what's the next things that you'll be getting personally. What have you got lined up?
I mean, January's always a quiet time of the year. So to that effect, there's nothing at the moment that has piqued my interest at all. But if you used to say, is there a shoe that you're excited or you're looking forward to getting hold of, I would say the Nike Sakai Waffle with Fragment, the Fragment collab, which I believe hopefully is coming out middle of the year, sometime in the summer.
Yeah,
I'd definitely like a pair of those.
That's one for you. Right, well, thank you very much, Henry. As
no worries.
Always, great chatting. And we will definitely do this again when we can actually go for a pint chop it up with a few more of you guys in the panel, and we'll bring some mics down to London.
Yeah, please do. And thanks for having me. Really, really appreciate the opportunity. Cheers.
Right, thank you. Cheers. And yeah, thank you once again to Henry. from the panel. I don't think we mentioned it enough. It's at thepanel.online on Instagram. And there is a blog as well, which is usually linked in their bio on Instagram as well. Go check them out. And if you're on Facebook as well, there's a really good Facebook page, The Panel, which just has cool people like me. Dan, are you in the panel Facebook group?
No, I'm not, but I might have to be after today.
Only cool people are allowed in the panel Facebook group. But go get involved in that. It's really interesting, and it's proper trainer talk and not just hype beast exclusive kind of chit chat, which many outlets are at the minute. So yeah, thanks once again to Henry. So Dan, what have we got next? Have we got some releases for this week?
So this week, Danny, we do. We've got there's a fair few this week. Some that'll excite people, I think. Some that'll go under the radar, and some that are absolute shockers. I think we should start with the shocker.
Go on.
I don't know if you've seen this, but the Kung Fu Panda Reebok Instapump.
No, I've not. But I've got to confess, I do like Kung Fu Panda. I think it's a great film. I am not an Instapump. That silhouette, that shoe, I don't think there's ever been a version that I've looked at and thought, I could fancy myself a pair of those. They're just too...
It's got to be the OG for me. If it's the Instapump Fury, it's got to be the OG. They did one with some Adidas Boost in it about 2 years ago, which was actually really good. But it was still the OG colorway, so it got a pass from, you know, it was all right. But it's not a shoe to play with and do silly collabs with for me. It's just too novelty.
Yeah, even as a base shoe to then do something on top of it.
Yeah. It's just too much. Like, then they did the Tom and Jerry one the other year. Just too wacky, you know.
Was there some Toy Story ones, or did I dream that? Was there a Toy Story?
It does sound like one of your dreams, Danny, but I think
you... we won't get into what I dream about on a night. Thank you, Dan.
One of the better releases this week, though, the Pata New Balance 991.
Yes.
Really, really nice. If anybody's after that as well, just a note, it's Friday, midday is the release, and it's got a completely separate website. So it's not on Pata, it's not on New Balance. It's on a completely different website, which is on Pata's Instagram. Go find it. That's where you'll find the shoe.
Now, I have seen those, and if I'm being honest, it was a pair that I would potentially have gone for if it wasn't for my one per month kind of ban I've put myself on. My January pair are coming towards the end of January. But I really, really like that. Obviously, Edson from Pata is just a top guy. I really like Edson, get on with him well. And yeah, it's a great shoe. Good luck if you can get a pair.
It's a great collab on a great silhouette. It's a great colourway. I can't fault it. I just think I have to give it a pass because the way it is at the minute, with obviously custom fees and everything now from Europe, the shoe I think is €220, and you just don't know at the minute what it's going to end up costing you. It could turn out to be a pretty expensive shoe, so I think I'm going to have to give it a pass on that reason alone.
And just on, we'll go off on a bit of the tangent. I have seen things like people buying from Nike online, like nike.co.uk, and then getting hit by customs because the actual shoes are not in the UK and they're being flown in from, is it Germany? I think Nike keep a lot of the...
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I've seen some horror stories in the last week or so where it's ended up costing people a lot more than they planned. Because obviously we've not had to deal with this before, have we? So
No.
Shopping with Patty, you never used to think about it. But I do know that these shoes are in Europe and not in the UK. So I have to presume you're going to get hit.
Yeah, so if you voted Brexit, then you deserve to pay the income, export fees or whatever they're called. It's a pain, isn't it? So what else have we got?
We've also got a women's Air Jordan 4 Starfish. So it's a strange one, this. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's almost like a bread colorway Jordan 4 because it's nowhere near as good. Yeah. But in certain lights, it almost looks black, and it seems to have like a shimmer to it.
Yeah. It's brown though, isn't it?
Possibly. I don't know. I think in different lights. Honestly, in every photo I've seen of it, it looks completely different.
Right. But
for that reason, I'm not personally a fan.
No, I mean, I've seen a couple of pictures and I like them. A Jordan 4 is not something I'm ever going to pick up. It's just not my shoe. But I quite like them, to be fair. Women's only, though? Is it women's sizing? We'll get on to that.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know if it's a full size run, but it is classed as a women's release. So that means it will go down to a size 3, obviously. Whether it goes up to a size 12, I'm not sure.
No.
But two of the better Nike releases this week. We've got Nike SB Court Purple.
Yes.
The regular sportswear Dunk Low in black and white. So two really good dunks out this week. Danny's just falling asleep.
The black and white one.
So you think it's boring?
Yeah, it's just basic. We don't swear on this podcast, but it's basic, bitch. Do you know,
there's nothing wrong with basic, Danny. That is such an easy to wear shoe. That's what it's all about. Shoe you can wear every day. Great silhouette. Can't go wrong.
I can wear any shoe any day. That doesn't bother me. I'm not a massive sportswear dunk person anyway. It's got to be a bit special, like the what was the one I liked last year? I can't remember. Was it the Samba one?
Yeah.
Which has a bit of variation. And whatever, the Garden or Lemon Wash, it got called a couple of different things.
Community Gardens.
Community Gardens. I appreciated those ones, but nah, not for me. They're, I think we said it last week on the podcast, they're the ones that should be sat on shelves on JD for your person who wants to go in and buy a pair of dunks, because they've seen that influencer online, on Instagram, wherever, wearing dunks. I mean, you know, I want to get a pair of dunks because I've seen, I'm rubbish, I don't follow influencers, but the latest person on Love Island wearing a pair of dunks, so I want to buy a pair. I don't think it's a, going back to the Henry conversation, I don't think it's necessarily a sneakerhead pair. I know that sounds really snobbish and a bit, you know, fire some shots at me, by all means, people, but not for me.
And what about the SB Court Purple?
Well, I actually...
You've changed your mind, haven't you, Danny? You've come round to it.
I've not changed my mind. I do like them. I think it works better than the Chicago, but I still think a bit lazy. Just putting Jordan colorways on like SB Dunks, because SB Dunks are the hottest thing at the minute. I think, I can pass these ones quite easily.
I see where you're coming from. I think it's lazy? I'm not sure, because I think it's giving people what they want. Because I think the two biggest things at the minute, Jordan and SB, you know, no doubt about it.
Maybe lazy is the wrong word. It's just not... I like my SB dunks to be silly and stupid.
It's too obvious for you.
Yeah, it's too obvious. And I'm not bothered if they're a quick striker GR or an orange label. And without wanting to spoil maybe future news, things like the Pink Pig ones that are coming out in February, brilliant. You know, and they're not flash particularly. I mean, all right, the pink, but I like that they're a little bit different. I like the story behind it. And that's what Nike SB speaks to me. And I just think just grabbing a colour, although I say this and then say the Safari ones from last year, one of the best pairs by Nick and Air Max Uncle. But yeah, I think the difference is a Jordan high to a Jordan low and then to a Nike SB dunk is not, the shoe's not different enough for me. Whereas banging an Elephant Air Max 1 print on a dunk is completely different. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I don't agree with you, but I know what you mean.
I knew you were going to say that.
And the final release this week then, the Adidas ZX Torsion in yellow. It's the full yellow. I don't know who's going to want this shoe, Danny.
So I think it's not a one for me either. But obviously the A to ZX thing has been, let's be honest, I think it's been a bit hit and miss. Some of the A to ZX models have absolutely flown. Some of them have just sat and ended up going in sale. I think doing 26 models, I understand why they're doing it. I kind of get it, but I think it's just in this trainer world we live in at the minute, it's saturated anyway. And doing 26 releases of ZXs, I don't think there's been a particularly bad one, but it's just an awful lot and you've just got to pick and choose, unless you've got unlimited funds or you're mad to try and pick up every release. But I have seen quite a few of Adidas people say they really like these, like the shape's really good. And obviously it's a yellow shoe because of the yellow torsion bar. So it's got a bit more of a meaning. It's not just another colorway. It's yellow because of the torsion. Obviously torsion's massive in Adidas, you know, revolutionary when it all came in. So I can see why a collector might want that pair for their collection. But again, it's not, I'm not going to pick them up.
No, I think they could have told that story a bit different, maybe just with even yellow stripes on a plain shoe and made it more wearable. I just don't see it being much of a wearable shoe.
No, I get that. But I think
each to their own and all that, Danny.
Yeah, there's so many wearable shoes, I think, that it's just they could have just made it too simple and a bit, I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling.
Well, there we are. That's all the releases for this week. So, I mean, a pretty good week, a pretty busy week. There's something for everyone out there. And
Henry kind of mentioned it in the interview that January is quite slow, usually anyway, after Christmas. And it just starts to pick the pace up end of January when people start getting paid again and paid Christmas bills and getting into February and March. I always think in my head, March is the time where it truly picks up, or it has done over the years gone past. I mean, who knows what after 2020, what 2021 is going to bring. But yeah, I think it'll start picking up towards like mid-Feb, end of Feb, you'll start to see a lot more dropping.
And the other thing we say every time as well is now's the time, check out the sales, places like Hannon, all your obvious ones, Size, Offspring, all them. Some bargains to be had at the minute. And shout out to the skate stores as well. You know, Attitude, Welcome, loads of them. Some great stuff on the website. Some Blazer Lows came out this week, which are brilliant, like Brazil colorway. Great shoe. Kind of go under the radar because it's a Blazer Low. Check the websites because there's some great stuff out there.
And you've just kind of triggered something in my head. Are you a sneakerhead if you've never bought a pair of trainers in a sale?
That's too much for this week, Danny.
And maybe we'll leave it there. Once again, massive thanks to Henry for jumping on and talking all things trainers, sneakers, sneakerheads, collectors, and all that we spoke about. Make sure you check out the panel online. And I think that's everything for me. Are we going to say bye today? Or
not today, Danny. Not today.
Not today. All right. Cheers, folks.